Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rebook, the podcast where we talk about the men and the women and the slapping of the meat and the stories that they tell in the process. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if that sounds weird and I sound weird, it's because I'm doing the intro, because GB drank a bottle of bad wine while he was out on the road, and now I'm calling him out on his crap while taking over this intro for you. But we have a lot going on, a lot to talk about. But of course, you got the whole crew with us, even though I'm the first one talking. So, of course, you got me. You got the drama king ready to go. You've got GB, quiet as a mouse as he may be. And you got Jake, the Cal Ripken, the never gonna miss, never gonna give you up of Rebooked Wrestling Podcast. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Great.
you sound really sexy though.
Yeah,
it's, you do have that like that like cold like you know
that RFK
like
Jr.
Friends.
Thing going.
Well, yeah, now I can possibly
sexy
want
health secretary thing.
call me
Cheryl Hines.
I celebrated by buying a bottle of wine, and it was like a small one, but it was a twisty cap, and I guess...
Was it from the hotel lobby?
The hotel lobby, yeah.
The hotel wine is always a risk.
Yeah, I didn't know. I put my trust in the bottling institutions of America, and I was failed, and I should have known, like most things in America, it will let you down, so damn it, that sucked. But it is what it is. We're excited. It's going to be brand of a good episode regardless. Sorry for my voice sounding really bad. But Matt, we do have some comments, a lot of comments from our fans, from our last episode. Let's talk about it.
Yes, indeed. So after last week's episode where Jake and I in particular had some issues or just like some issues to
doubts.
Take with the
and well-founded.
I think so too. And we don't have to end up going down this. There's a lot to talk about, and it is what makes wrestling really unique. We took issue, for those who don't know, go back and watch the episode, but with this kind of sudden seeming Mox face turn with the Death Riders. Meanwhile, also the Death Riders are not turning face, just Jon Moxley is, and it was kind of a unexplained babyface turn and stuff like that.
Confusing.
But some people vocally disagreed with us, including what's that?
To say the least.
A little bit. But one of those points was from Vainglory14 from our YouTube comments. And this one I kind of give maybe a little bit of credence to. I think there may have been something I did along this line, but I don't think I'm totally unjustified. But he said, or they said, I should say, I feel like everyone collectively hallucinated the whole Death Riders turning on Mox thing. And it meant that we missed the story where they were actually, that they were actually telling with Mox up until the day of the pay-per-view. By which I mean, maybe this was me, is like, maybe I was reading too into those segments and those backstages where
so then
Mox
what's the story
kind of
we missed
that so that's what I would push back with though. While I may have read too much into some of those dirty looks or those death stares from the Death Riders, I still don't think then in addition to that that they were telling some redemption story with Mox. He was just like training and then wrestling and then cutting good guy promos without much of a story told there.
Yeah.
So
I think that
there were also
we definitely got excited about the prospect. Like I know I did, for example, I thought that there was going to be something with Roddy and Mox, considering that Roddy was coming in as the replacement for Kyle O'Reilly because he was injured. And I think that there would have been more meat on that bone had Kyle O'Reilly been in the C2 or been able to compete in the C2. But Roddy took over for that. So I was hoping to see something with Mox, something with Roddy, something with the Death Riders, because there's been so much friction with them and the conglomeration, but they didn't go for it. And ultimately, it is what it is. Like, I don't really have a problem with it, but I know for me, that was like one of the narratives that I was like manifesting in my brain, and it definitely didn't work out that way. I'm not mad about it, but it would have been cool to see that play through.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But I'm sure, like I said, I have a whole like diatribe on like wrestling storylines and how they can switch based off fan. Because a lot of people also, we don't have anything that we pulled right here, but there are also a couple people just jumping on us being like, what do you mean he's not a baby face or whatever? Like, he got cheered. And like, it's a tough thing because, yes.
So did Mussolini.
Yeah, just because people like him. Sometimes that's where the weird lines get blurred.
What are we talking about?
Between a fictional story that we're trying to tell versus how people react in a certain arena. It can be helpful, but it can also be dissonant and confusing sometimes. And it's one of the weird things, but sometimes magical things about wrestling. But again, it can be a hard needle to thread, so to speak.
So this next one. Some of our listeners had an issue with our reading of MJF's winning of the world championship and how he kind of just like stole it. Someone actually did a really good job of breaking down what happened. And yeah, no, it turns out MJF won that shit. And he was like, yeah, he took advantage of things, but he did do the thing. For example, like Max was the one who finished off Joe. Sure, Joe was in a great position, but Max was the one who ended up getting the hit on him. So it's not like in previous iterations where MJF would like throw someone out after they hit their move, right? He's the one who did it, you know, which granted, this setup, you can have arguments about it because that's what he kind of breaks through with the discussion. But this was Andrew Saunders. And I just thought it was a really good comment. And it kind of really fits in the spirit of this show and what we like to talk about, because we saw that Andrew saw something completely different and was really able to like explain what they saw. And I think that just like makes the conversation so much more exciting, if that makes sense.
Sure.
You know,
I think, I don't know what I don't remember like suggesting that MJF like cheated to win the match. I think we said that
he snuck another win or something like that. I think I had said it or something like or that. Jake, yeah.
Okay. I think when we were in our like our thumbnail and our kind of our headline from the last episode was about starting the year off same old, same old WWE AEW stuff. And so it was less about how MJF won the match. And I think it was more about, I was like, oh, it's MJF kind of, it's back again. We're kind of back in this grind. We're back at the start of this loop again. He's still kind of the same MJF as a character.
Yeah.
He won the title. That's kind of where my head was. And also, to be fair, I think Andrew Saunders' comment is very valid. And I guess it's a tough thing. It's like heels don't always have to cheat, but also like the person is supposed to be your biggest scumbag just single-handedly get rid of this guy, hit the finishing move. Kind of sucks. I'm not saying,
but it only works because of MJF.
Steal the tights. No, but I don't think so? Why does that make it work?
Because of his story, his individual story.
Which has been
him doing exactly as you said for years, being the guy who snuck the wins, who cheated his way out. He had a point that he wanted to prove to Hangman that he wanted to win the championship and he needed to win that belt his way. And they also changed the rules of the contract because of MJF, which he was pissed about because he wanted to cash in. And then they were like, no, you have to announce it. And he was angry about that. So when he came out, he was like, you know what? I'm going to prove to you all that I could do this. And that's how we ended up with him as champion. So,
I think
it only fits in that instance, but I don't disagree with what you're saying. He is a baby face. I agree
in that regard. That's kind of, and that's a little old head.
More of a tweener of now, but yeah, but he should be.
Yeah, I get at the very least. I'm like, that is a super
babyface like, thing to
honorable
do.
And kind of thing. Yeah, fine. I yeah. will. Then I will prove it. And then he went out and he proved it.
And he was a little all three guys. Ratty, right? He threw the guy out. He like had a plan, but that was within the confines of the match. So like sure. he was good, you know, like even if he snuck the win, he really didn't. He earned
it. No, he didn't. Yeah. And so would you, I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I do. I mean, but I guess it makes it a more shady. We yeah. often ever. I do think that's something that wrestling industry likes to talk about, especially the last like 15 years I've been in it. They're like, we're so beyond the good and bad and like the black and white of, you know, it's all shades of gray now. But it's still 90% been black and white, good guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a true example of an actual tweener, an actual shades of gray. That was a very babyface way of winning. But even though he as a character is still kind of a douchebag.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see what happens with Bandido tonight yes. because it's Maximum Carnage. And this has been a fascinating build. Like mini build because Bandido won the Dynamite ring and he's kind of like, he's just, I was just at the AEW show in Texas and just people love Bandido. The amount of Bandido merch, shirts, Bandido is popular. Like I was not prepared for that. So kind of coming into this match, knowing that Bandido shouldn't win, but man, that could be cool. That could be crazy if Bandido pulled off the win. And you like hot pocket, like well, not hot pocket, you
hot potato.
Thank you, Jake. Hot potato.
The title. I mean, look, hot pocket, you know, get in that side of that sleeve. You know, they don't sell them with the sleeve anymore. You're just supposed to raw dog it in the microwave.
Hey, what?
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they don't sell cardboard? The little foil cardboard pocket anymore.
Monsters.
Damn.
This is what's happened to our America.
Terrible. Good Lord. That on.
Damn shame.
But damn yeah, shame. We have more comments because someone via our shorts really just wanted to continue to love Leon Slater because Leon Slater is amazing.
Amen.
Basically saying this was live with Sin or live with Sin says Leon Slater is just too damn good. So young. Imagine what he'll look like in a decade. Yeah. This dude, guy.
For real.
Yeah. And he's already got so much going for him. Also,
which if it was up to some Hall of Famers, that would be how long before he had a main event run and win a world title. But yeah. Let's hope for that sake that that's not true.
Very true. Javon Evans too. Had his debut match on Raw against Bravo Americano, a.k.a. the big strong boy, Tyler Bate, which is so weird. Who's the other one? Who's the other Americano?
Pete Dunne.
It's, yeah, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
And then Ludwig as the primary Americano.
I hope they're having fun. That's what I hope they are. Because this seems like a thing you can be silly with. And just enjoy. And
I think Pete, from what I understand, Pete is also doing a ton of producing, whether I think it's with NXT or maybe on the road. I don't know. So like, I think sometimes it's, you start looking, you're like, hey, I'm in that part of my career. I want to help out. I want to build for the next
involved
generation. And then let me do something fun as my in-ring kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that, like, he couldn't, because that's the reason why I'm glad that AEW and TNA exists, because, like, you're hearing about Tommaso Ciampa and him leaving WWE. Listen, TNA, Tommaso Ciampa would kill it there. AEW,
oh, yeah.
He would be a star there, like, without a doubt, because he just fits. It fits that style. And for those guys, like, you can either continue to do what you're doing, which is still making money, continuing to do what you love, right? Because at the end of the day, a lot of these guys do it because they love it, you know, like plain and simple. I'm just optimistic regardless, and I'm just glad that we have so many options. But I wanted to talk about this one. Well, actually, Matt, you wanted to talk about this one sure. because we had one of our Discord members drop a hot theory, a little fantasy booking.
That's right. And if you join our Discord, which you should, but and also by clicking all the things below or leaving comments as we continue to call you to action. I'm doing my part, YouTube. In our Discord, we do have a fantasy booking section where you can posit ideas about what might happen in given scenarios. And Mr. Smith 0693 actually, after listening to our episode last week on Wednesday, 2 days before SmackDown, said, just finished, you know, great stuff. He goes, it got me thinking. I think GB is onto something with Drew winning. Well, look at that. If he does, we have a Mania story already set to go. Who's the one guy who had a story about never beating Drew last year and just stated that he's going for the title? My pick to win the Rumble, if Drew is the champ, is Sami Zayn. And if they're into the long-term storytelling, it's just right there for the taking, which, I mean, I feel like for the last seven, eight months when we've talked about things, like I remember even the John Cena retirement tour, I thought Sami Zayn might be the one to have the last match. I said, I think some of us said maybe 2026 is the year Sami Zayn, even if it's a short run, like they just kind of give him that pat on the back, that shot, like, hey, you earned this kind of moment. His Daniel Bryan moment or whatever, if you will. So, I don't know. That there is a built-in story and I mean,
great theory.
Drew Wynn was a surprise and interesting, and yeah, I'm sure we'll get in more of that later.
Great theory, honestly. Mostly because we, right, Jake, have been wondering what the hell is happening with Sami Zayn. He is too pivotal of a character on their show. He's been in it for so long now. So many people love him. And it just feels like he's floating like on the lake, on a little life preserver, just floating down the lake. Do you think now it's time that he starts?
Or in a sumo suit.
Yeah. That too. Exactly. Yes. To bring it back to the office like us millennials love to do. So, yeah. What do you think of all this, Jay?
I like it. I mean, we've all sat on here for a long time. Sammy's way past due, and quite honestly, like, he's just, I think part of the reason that people love Sammy so much is because he's just so relatable. He's a normal person. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. Like, you feel the ambition that he has, and you feel the pride that he has to be a wrestler and to be content with where he is and who he is, but still wanting more at the end of the day. And I think that that's super relatable. And I think that that's why people like Sammy so much.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, we're just in a time where we could use an underdog winning something for a change. And I think that it could be another feel good story, similar to Daniel Bryan, similar to Kofi, similar to Cody. I think we could make a really good feel-good story out of Sami Zayn, and I just think it's something that we're so deprived of right now, and so I really hope that's how it turns out, because it would be a great moment for him. It'd be a great moment for wrestling.
I agree. It'd be cool. And to Mr. Smith's point, it's already there, you know, like they have had an extensive rivalry. Like, Drew, the thing about Drew that's so great, and we'll talk more about this later, it's just that even though we've been waiting for him to have this championship again for a minute now, along the way, he has had some incredible rivalries, and he's got like a laundry list of like people that want to beat him up, you know? And you are very much not going to be without options. You have Damian Priest. You have Sami Zayn, right? You have Randy Orton. You have you have Kevin Owens if he comes back, right? Like, you have Cody Rhodes. You have five options just there alone that you can build off of. You got Jacob Fatu. I even forgot about Jacob Fatu. You have
Jacob Fatu. Who just caused the whole thing to happen.
That's true. That's right. So it's like, I don't know. You have so many options. That Drew being champion is perfect. It's exactly what WWE needs right now. And he's gonna kill it. We did have we asked you guys to come up with some names to call yourselves.
What is the fan base? Yeah,
there were some choices. First one, CG McWhiskers, longtime member of the show, says, would you three consider us your bookmarks? Bookmarks, kind of like that. Bookmarks.
No, you didn't. No, you freaking liar. You lying son of a bitch.
I wasn't sure I felt about it.
Yeah, you literally responded with, I don't know how. What is wrong?
Wait a minute.
There's nothing controversial about
it. Wait a minute.
Whatsoever.
Wait a minute. I said I wasn't sure I felt about it. And guess what happened? Time. And now I know. And now I know how I feel about it, okay? And I know that I kind of like it.
What was confusing? What part of it?
It's just, I don't know, something about it just, it felt sexual and I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was like...
Yet you liked meat bookers?
Now that one. Now that's
that
a good...
That didn't feel sexual at all, huh?
Now that one is
swinging some meat around.
Yeah, that's...
Smashing it in a book.
That's a naughty one. I like that. That one was from Balor the Brave. Says, Rebook fan name suggestion, the meat bookers. So again, let us know. What name you think would work for y'all. We can also do a poll as well when we get good ones.
We
so far we got two good ones. Let's see if we get a couple more. We'll do a poll. We'll see what happens from there. We'll get AEW out of the way since I think that's the they have a big show tomorrow or today. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So like we're gonna see this. We'll see how this plays out. Let me actually pull up the card here. See what we have.
This past week, too, in preparation for that, some stuff happened, but it felt like it was a very holding pattern-y kind of week.
Yeah.
To get to some of the things that are happening tonight on Maximum Carnage, outside the Mercedes kind of having a meltdown is a big thing, but a lot of things just setting up. Yeah, this card. For Maximum Carnage.
Yeah, so obviously MJF Bandido is going to be big. We'll talk about that in a second. You have a massive trios match with Chris Statlander and Tekla. So expect there to finally be Tekla getting a big win. Maybe over Chris, maybe over Willow. Who knows? There are two options there. We have Darby and Pac. Kenny Omega's coming back, which he wants gold. See what happens. Mm-hmm. And then two kind of like new teams. Not new for one of them. Well, other one, yes, new. Grizzle Young Veterans, they've been around for a while. Seems like they're starting to get some momentum. I just saw them recently at Collision. They look great. They were booked strong. They dominated their opponent. It was awesome. And they called out their opponent, Ortiz and Eddie Kingston, which... There's some lore there. These guys being members of LAX, right, back in the day, in the TNA days.
I mean, not Eddie, but...
Not Eddie, but it was like, what was their team? They weren't LAX in TNA, right? Or like Eddie with them.
Oh, I don't know.
That was after the fact, right? Like, when did Eddie start rolling with them? Because I know Eddie rolled with Santana and Ortiz briefly before they both... Maybe that was just an AEW thing, and I'm misremembering it. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, this is a new team. Yeah, Ortiz and Kingston, kind of like it. Could be good for both men. But yeah, overall, Maximum Carnage card. What do we think Kenny Omega is going to say? Where would the Kenny Omega character go from here?
Well, the last time we saw him was the recorded message for MJF, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably it would be a confrontation there, maybe. But assuming that that's the main event, MJF and Bandido, maybe he costs. No, I was like, I'm gonna say costs MJF the match, but again, I don't see MJF losing.
No.
As much as we talked about the possible hot potato, I don't think it's here.
No.
So maybe after the match he confronts him. It's a pretty short little window of seeing Kenny Omega, unless maybe he has something with like the Young Bucks that isn't scheduled.
I just want to see how they get him to MJF. Is it going to be a casino gauntlet? Is it going to be him having matches and needing to like just win.
Is it just he's Kenny Omega?
Or he's just Kenny Omega.
Title shot. I mean,
yeah.
I like it when guys earn, even if
I do too.
Make me a number one contenders match. You and you.
Winner, I do too, but per what we've been talking about, wouldn't it be a refreshing change of pace if MJF was just like, bring it next week, you and me? Or,
yes,
you know,
I never liked that either, but I don't like wrestlers making matches.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a pet peeve.
You've been consistent on that issue for a while.
Matches.
I don't necessarily mean him making a match, but being willing to go through with one.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, wrestlers making matches. I understand it, but I love your just irrational hatred for it. It's amazing.
It's not irrational.
It's irrational.
The most rational.
Sorry, I misspoke. Your rational hatred. There it is. And then we're gonna get Pac versus Darby. I think something's gonna go down there. Because Darby, in order to get this match, basically threaten Pac's life. So, I don't know. Could Darby Allin be in his dark era?
Dark is a baseline.
It's true. That's very true. But does it? Problem is like, I guess it's just maybe showing like an edgier side to him. Not like anything else in that, you know, because I don't see them going out of their way to make Darby a bad guy. I don't know.
This is the guy that, as a good guy, brings out a flamethrower and like falls through glass. How much more edge can you get other than being just a heel who like hits guys in the nuts and stuff like that? But I don't think so. I don't think Darby goes like heel here. But I think he just remind me, was this a missed out on match due to the injury to Darby from the C2?
Yeah.
Isn't this supposed to be his Darby's next match or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. And he wanted Pac because he'd be in everyone except for Pac. And then he like cornered him and then tried to like break his leg and then he agreed. And you know, just mild assault. You know?
I mean, it's par for the course.
Or it's just how it is.
And AEW is
in wonder particular. How like do the laws of society, like when you walk through the doors of a wrestling, like does the constitution go away? Like is
you
that
know
how
the funny thing is? You know what?
Doesn't so WWE.
My super strong I want the rules of like, you know, like I really like wrestlers don't make matches. You need to have like an authority figure or somebody. It's like an employee making the rules, right? Yeah. I have this staunch belief in that. However, I have a staunch disbelief in like, don't ever bring the law into pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
The reason being for that, I always hate because sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Because I'm like, the minute you bring real law, we're all assaulting each other. We're all breaking all kinds of laws.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody outside of the confines of a match hits someone, it's assault. And so like,
now, I would argue that in the confines of wrestling, that it's reasonable to suspect potential of bodily harm at any time.
Yeah.
I would think that the participants would possibly waive some of those rights in which the so-called assaults are just a part of the everyday job.
Yeah.
I generally agree, which is why I always hate when they end up in some scenario where it's like they get in a fight backstage and then the heel's like, I got the baby face is being taken out in handcuffs. As much as we loved watching Stone Cold do it in 1999, if you're arresting him for that, you should arrest half the roster on a weekly basis.
It worked then. It just doesn't work now. It's like,
I just leave it out there.
We already know that we suspend our disbelief enough as it is to enjoy this thing.
Pro wrestling's like organized crime. We take out our own trash.
I disagree. You know what I mean? I disagree. I want to start seeing wrestler's court, but not like, but like with Judge Judy presiding.
APA.
You know? With, like let's go into the people's court with some of these.
We need a judge gimmick. When's the last judge gimmick?
Has there ever been a judge?
Has there ever been a judge? We need a judge.
Not
gimmick.
A full on.
No, there was a cop.
I mean, EJ Nduka called himself the judge, but he didn't wear a robe and gavel. Like,
see, and what he needs is like a sledgehammer sized gavel.
Yeah.
I think Mustafa should become a judge and start to judge like the members of Order 5, you know, Order 4, excuse me. And then we got to find him a bailiff, you know, and just someone.
I mean, Agent Zero.
No. Or just some monster who, so he can be the judge. Everybody else in the group can be the jury, and the big dude can be the executioner.
Okay. It's Special Agent Zero.
Yeah. Judge, jury, and executioner.
Speaking of, I wanted to get this out of the way real fast. Jake something. I did not see that one coming at all. I just wanted to mention it real fast. No longer a part of TNA, Matt. I'm so sorry. But, you know, I think, like, this is... He was kind of always start and stop. It seemed like he had some injuries as well. So I don't know, like, what the lore was there exactly. Because he would, like, be on TV for a little while. Then he'd be away for a little while.
I'm just going to put my foot in my mouth a little bit here. But, like, he was just... No, it was a missed opportunity. I agree with you. I think he has untapped potential.
He's incredible.
For some reason, he couldn't get through... to some people, making decisions, let's put it this, that way, whatever, it didn't click. So I applaud him for taking his chance on himself somewhere else. Cause he has a ton of untapped potential.
Yeah, man. Dude is also like, just his physique is insane. Like, holy crap.
He is, if you asked Grok, but which you should never do with anything, to make a pro wrestler, it would spit out Jake Doyle, aka Jake something. He's big, he's fast, he's actually like strong, easy to work with. Like, he's prototypical, like rat, like 80s barrel chested wrestler.
Yeah. And he's being paired with Mark Davies, which I think is a really, really good situation. And AEW, you know, they get some flack for how they have, I think they treated the TNA people. I've seen people on the TNA subreddit very angry about, like, Speedball Mike Bailey. And don't get me wrong, I'm with you. I think Mike Bailey, he's going to be a singles champion, undoubtedly. But it was also clear that, like, they wanted to get Kevin Knight over as well. And there was a great opportunity for them to pair together and make something unique. And they did. And it worked. And people love them.
A lot of that, too, is a case of, and I mean, it's just, what's the word, the phrase I'm looking for? Like a... we're spoiled for choice. There's so many riches in these rosters.
Oh,
And I think a lot of those complaints are, it's the same thing you tell those people, like, not everybody, not all of your favorites can all be world champion all the time, you know, having 20 minute main
unless
events.
Unless you have enough titles.
I guess. But AEW's getting there, to be fair. You know what I mean? But, like, I think, for example, Mike Bailey, I think he does have a lot of long-term potential. He's still young, and he's in a great tag team. Yeah. Regularly featured. It's not like they're on TV once every 6 weeks. They're on, like, every week. They're working with some main event guys, too, during some of those interactions and everything. So he's in a good spot.
And for Ace Austin, who was at the last taping that I just went to, he was doing, like, a lot of Ring of Honor matches. Like, I know that people are, like, annoyed that Ace Austin isn't being featured more, but I would say just be patient. I don't see a world where they're not going to use him. He's incredible. That match he had, I got to see him, was so good. And honestly, like, it's very clear that what they're doing right now is just kind of, like, establishing all these other things, and then they're gonna push Ace. It's gonna happen. I have no doubt in my mind, because we've seen the playbook. They run the same playbook over and over again. Like, they either put him with a group, or get him with a tag team, or put him with a manager, get him a couple singles matches. Maybe they come out with a bigger star. They don't necessarily have their theme yet. Their theme starts to pop up a little bit more. They're doing that with Josh Alexander. Like, he's now starting to come out on his own. He's now starting to be more of a lead voice in the Don Callis family. And everyone was like, oh, he's just a minion. He's just a grunt. It's like, yeah, you're right. He was. But they're establishing the character. And And who knows? Maybe it'll be great. Maybe it'll add even more layers to Josh Alexander, because we know he can do good work when he's got a group. So I don't know. Like, I look at it as a positive. I just don't. But that's me. I'm also like chronically optimistic. That'll probably be my downfall. So, you know.
No, it's good. Keep it alive.
I do imagine. All right. Well, moving forward though, Maximum Carnage should be fun. We'll of course talk about what happens next week. See where the connective tissue is, and where the stories are going. But we have a very exciting thing, because our dear friend, Mr. TNA himself, will be on AMC commentating for the world.
Super tomorrow.
Excited. Tomorrow.
When you're seeing this. I'll be in the air maybe live. When you're listening to this.
That's right.
Dallas.
You're excited, man?
I mean, I am excited. I think it's going to be very, very cool. We have a hell of a weekend.
AMC. It's, I mean, super
this,
cool.
Mm-hmm. And then we go right into Genesis on Saturday. You know, big world title match to start it off. And then we just learned this week, AJ Styles is coming back too. We don't know exactly what he's going to do. We know he's going to be there. I don't know what he's going to do. I would imagine... I'm just trying not to get people. If it was going to wrestle, I think we would have probably promoted the hell out of that. But you know he's going to talk. You know he's going to be out there with the people. Maybe he's going to be confronted by someone. Maybe he confronts someone else. Maybe he makes plans. Maybe he just.
And this is the most important news of it all.
Maybe he's escorted out by the police.
Maybe.
Sorry, I was just clicking through the website and I saw the hometown man sticking with the company. That's right.
That is a terrifying photo, because it looks like just a man with eyes, no nose, and just no lips.
Yes.
Just teeth.
Looks like a gimp.
Yeah.
Looks like in a really colorful gimp costume.
Mm. Oh, man. But yeah, no, I mean, we have a very exciting day for y'all for TNA. It's going to be sick. And then Genesis, Joe Hendry is going to be appearing at Genesis. So we'll be seeing him there. And then we have Mike Santana versus Frankie Kazarian. I don't know what to expect.
I mean, yeah, and as a result, again, this match originally made for Genesis was moved forward to be on the AMC premiere, you know, big deal, which is cool, but then it leaves the question then.
What happens at Genesis?
What happens? You have to imagine they're going to want to put a world title match on Genesis, so what's it going to be depending on who wins? And, of course, you have the specter of one wanted man, Nick Nemeth, who still has his
Call Your
Shot.
I was about to say, the Call Your Shot
trophy.
Yeah.
So, does he do it during this match? Does he do it after the match? Does he do it for something at Genesis? You know what I mean? There's a lot of those cool questions.
Does AJ Styles steal it from him and cash it in himself? You're going to have to watch AMC to find
out. That's not legally
I don't want to hear any legally binding horse shit out of you. Not anymore.
Wrestlers don't steal trophies. I've always said that. I've said that for years.
I want to give
some
love.
No one knew what you were talking about for the longest time.
I want to give some love to the TNA graphics team. I just noticed, just small little detail in the text. The individual is like appearing in the text, but is like broken.
Challenger
like a mirror.
And champion.
Yeah, and the challenger and champion within that looks so good. Sorry, just
it's cool.
Graphic design nerd wanted to talk about that real fast.
Yeah, I like it a
passion.
Lot. And I like how the body goes with the spaces until it gets to their head.
Yeah,
so you can see their full face.
Yeah, from the shoulder up. Yeah. Even the TNA title isn't cut off from it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, just you know, guys, here at Rebook, we like storylines and graphic design. You know, because I make a lot of freaking. graphics.
Damn right.
But yeah, so it's gonna be exciting. You know, with the AJ Styles news, we'll see what happens, what he talks about. We'll of course see what happens with the main event. And I think, do we have another match plan for that one? I think it was Leon Slater and the X Division,
the AMC premiere?
For the AMC
The AMC premiere,
It is a six-man tag with Order 4, the Hardys, and Elijah. As well as the Knockouts World Tag Team titles will be defended.
Oh, so did they move that then to Genesis? Oh. I'm assuming
that was always going to be on Genesis.
Okay.
With Moose and Cedric was always Genesis.
Got it. Yeah, I'm actually looking right now. Might as well talk about it. We have Elijah going off, facing off against Mustafa Ali, Joe Hendry will be there. There's the triple threat. Leon Slater will defend the X Division title against Cedric and Moose. Cedric recently re-signing with TNA, so that's awesome. Yep. And of course, JDC and Eddie Edwards will be battling in ring before in ring retirement. So I think just them having a match, they just wanted to square off. Is there any narrative there? It's just them fighting.
I mean, it's just they. It's JDC's last match. He chose his real life.
It's his last match.
Oh, this is a shoot retirement.
Like, yeah, no. This is, sorry. Yeah. I didn't know we were there at the retirement yet. I thought we had maybe another month, but we're here. Okay. Nope.
This is the match. And so he chose his stablemate and very real friend of the last 20 years, Eddie Edwards, to just get to have his final match with him. So it's just kind of a brothers versus brothers. And let's just test each other out, like push each other and have a banger, brother.
Nice.
You know what I mean? On his last match. And then, of course, you still have the Knockouts World title, Lei Ying Li versus Danny Luna, who is absolutely somebody to watch in 2026. Danny Luna is going to go on a tear, I believe. Rich Swann versus AJ Francis. And then, of course, the Hardys defend the tag titles against the Righteous.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm just trying to pull this up. There you go. Sorry, go for it. What were we going to say?
Yeah, no, just been cool. The Righteous, I'm very happy to see them there. They've been like the weird Manson kind of family style. They've been like stalking the Hardys, trying not to fight them, but just weirding them out to the point
think they should win.
They're going to fight.
I think they should win.
I think it would be cool as hell.
Yeah. I think they should win. That would be like, you want to get this team over or start pushing them, not over, but start pushing them and start showing their ability. I think this is it, but we'll see. We'll see.
We shall.
All right, cool. So, yeah, we got a lot. AMC, Impact, and Genesis happening.
Damn right.
This week. There isn't a lot of connecting tissue between everything right now. You know, you got Maximum Carnage. You got the AMC premiere. But WWE, now we have been talking about these guys kind of in a weird spot. Not really. The stories haven't been clicking. Just put it like that. There have been some things that have been working, though. One of those was Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes. And we finally have the conclusion. Drew McIntyre is finally the WWE Undisputed Champion. Obviously, long time coming. But Jake, initial reactions just on Drew, the match, what you saw, just anything in general.
Well, I liked it for the reason that when we kind of talked about MJF, when we misunderstood how MJF won his title, Drew won his the same way, in that he just took advantage of a situation. And I like it. I like Drew finally getting a title. I like it being like, not that anyone was helping him, but that it was just a sleazy, you know, sneaky win for him. I think it's honestly a perfect way for Drew to win the title. It makes all kinds of sense because he's such a troll.
Yeah.
He's been such a dick to everyone. And he's been all about, I don't care how I have to win the title. I want the title. And now he's done it. So I think that that's really interesting and fascinating. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he goes forward. As the champion, when we all saw how he won it. So is this leading to a potential triple threat? I mean, we know it's not going to at Royal Rumble because they're going to have those qualifying matches and then the Fatal Four Way for the number one contender. But I don't know. Come time for Mania, I wonder how this is going to go down, but it does as our fan pointed out earlier, seemed like it could point towards Sami Zayn, who we saw have a backstage promo on SmackDown this past Friday before the match, still interested in winning the title.
Question for me is, what is Jacob Fatu's kind of situation in this? What's the read on that?
So as I understand, because the commentators talked about this was a great job by Joe Tess and Bad News Barrett, but they said that speculation was that Drew had injured Fatu and taken him out. And that's why he's been out. They said that when he attacked him, they're like, oh, I remember Tess saying, we've long speculated that Drew could have been the one who took out, you know, Jacob Fatu. And then he went over and attacked Cody. So
did that happen? Like, as in like, did we see that? Did we see Jacob Fatu get attacked, or is that just them making it up?
We didn't see him get attacked, but we saw the result of him being attacked.
It was one of those, if I recall.
Where the camera comes up on somebody laid out kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a Jade Cargill Naomi situation.
I have one slight issue with that. And it's a little bit of an inconsistency in how they've explained Jacob Fatu, because you know, when they booked him, my guy was like ripping through everyone. You know, like an absolute juggernaut. Like, didn't care. Nothing hurt him. People were hurting him, and it wasn't like we're hitting him with chairs. They were throwing him in tables. It didn't matter. Nothing hurt him.
He was getting hurt. He wasn't getting injured.
Ah, sure. Yeah, he was getting. All right, fine. So you're saying this day he got injured. All right. I mean, that was one of the things. My dad always, it's just a booking.
When I was playing football, my dad always told me there was an injury between being hurt and injured. You can play hurt. You cannot play injured.
That's fair.
Wrestling is the same thing. There's a lot of people who can work hurt or whatever. Everybody, you're always hurt. You're always banged up. Something always hurts.
Right.
But it's when something actually snaps, bends, or breaks irreparably, then you're injured. Then you have to, then you have to be seen.
I like that. All right.
Yeah.
Good job. Mm-hmm. Way to bring some sanity and rationality to
this.
Don't worry.
The athlete's got it covered here.
Yeah, okay. You know what? You don't got to come at me like that. All right. I can run fast too, kind of. So Jacob Fatu does that. We have Drew's champ. We heard our theory from one of our audience members earlier. We'll see how that plays out.
On that note, though, we should make note that they already have put in place. There's going to be four matches. The winners of each match will meet in a fatal four-way at the next Saturday night's main event. And the winner of that faces Drew at the Rumble. And so the matches we have are Orton and Miz, Cardona and Trick, Priest and Solo, and Sami Zayn and Dragunov. So,
which will bang. That match is going to bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think kind of whoever wins any of those matches, you have eight solid competitors there.
Yeah.
From main eventers to up and comers. But everybody, I think, is good. So that four way, whatever
the
it's
only
be,
one that I'm unsure say. About is between Cardona and Trick,
because they're both new to the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the moment they want to make Trick, because he's been more long term a WWE project from NXT. Cardona did have the promo with Cody, but Cody also no longer has the title, so I don't know. That my gut says Trick, but yes, I'm with you. That's the only one that was really a toss up to me.
Would Cardona McIntyre at the Rumble be bad? I would like it.
It would be different. Unexpected. I don't feel like the oomph. It's again, it's not that Matt, or there's just, I don't think there'd be enough time, and there's not enough put into Matt in WWE yet, I think, to make it feel, especially big four.
Yeah.
Level. And again, it's not the level.
And
of
especially
talent.
For
it's
the
just,
casual fan too, who may not know Matt Cardona the way we know Matt Cardona.
And is he as Matt still, Cardona or is he Zack Ryder?
He is Matt Cardona.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I'm very happy for him. That's great. Yeah. I'm very happy for him that he got to do that.
Because when he came back, he was Zack Ryder.
He was Zack Ryder.
In the Cena tournament, it was Zack Ryder. Then when he made his official return, they did the little like Zack Ryder.
Yeah, woo, 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 woo. Yeah,
yeah,
and it faded away, and then his
yeah.
Okay,
and they are calling him, and they're calling him Matt Cardona. He's on the card as Matt Cardona. On
that's
the
cool. Yeah, no, and it should be. I mean, honestly, like he's been going by that name for so freaking long now, like longer than Zack Ryder.
He's made that a bigger name than Zack Ryder. Anyway, yeah. I would argue. So.
Yeah, yes. I would. Yes, very true. So good on him. Now, The one that's interesting to me here is Orton and Miz. Because what's going on with Miz? Right? It feels like they want to do something and or something. Like I don't know. Am I misreading this?
Are you misreading it?
We've seen him pop up.
I'm so sorry.
We've seen him pop up a little more. He did like the, but it's all been kind of ha-ha things a little bit, which he's very, very good at when he wants to be, but he's also a main event level star. He's such a, I don't know. So is it pinch hitter the right term where you can kind of put him in any spot? Any
reliable hand. Yeah.
Utility player. He's,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like he's kind of just being that right now. He did the joke. What?
Sorry, it was adorable. It was adorable.
I tried.
Your attempt at being sportsy.
You're nicer than Tom when I try to do a sports ball reference.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say we're not on air. We are, but anyway.
Yeah, so I think he's just here to take a loss at this point again. Yeah. I think Randy's was away for a while, and Randy's just such a goddamn megastar still.
Probably going to be Randy Drew at the Rumble.
Randy Drew, maybe this could be where Sammy gets, but I feel like if Sammy gets it here, he's not going to take it.
Yeah.
I think Sammy, if it was Mania, there's a chance. I think if it's here, it's
I would
not.
Like it if he...
I think Randy Drew makes sense for Saudi, considering how the Saudi family, if you will, likes those cards to be booked with just legends and big names and marquee.
Oh, I forgot the Rumble's in Riyadh, right?
Yeah.
Riyadh, yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, well.
Outdoors, too.
And are they going to want a Syrian to win the WWE Championship at their event?
No.
You know?
Highly doubt it. Highly doubt it. So, yeah. Which, you know, that sucks, right? But that's just like, hey, you know, Sammy works there in WWE.
Literally the cost of doing business.
Does business with them. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Of course, so I think there is a really, really good chance for that to be Randy and Drew, as we had just mentioned. So, and
it'll be a good match.
And yeah, it should be a great match. And if anything, it's good for Drew to beat Randy for, you know, the title, right? Like, that'll be a good look for him too. And then hopefully sets up maybe, Sammy Drew, but yeah, interesting.
I will say, as far as the championship, as far as the match went with Cody and Drew, like, did it feel like it felt like fast? Like, it felt like let's just get to the cage a little bit to me,
a little bit.
Yeah, like
that was the three stages thing, right?
Yep,
yeah, yeah. And I felt like the first two stages went by quickly,
yeah.
Yeah, like the first match wasn't drawn out, which I'm not mad at in a three, because just by the nature of that match, it's going to be a long one.
Right.
So overstaying your welcome. But like, to your point, first one was pretty quick. The second one basically was two spots that they took their time getting to. The outside spot and then the table spot, the announce table, and then it was over. And then just got to the cage and the finish. Which... Yeah. I don't know, because you don't need to have three full-fledged matches.
No.
So, like, I wasn't totally angry at it because I thought it was still a pretty well-paced. But
I just felt like
wrong.
Since it, because it was, but like, it just, it felt so lopsided. Like, that third stage felt so long comparatively to the first two.
Yeah, like, they had more to do there, but they used the other things to kind of just let them do, you know, some other bits. But it seemed like it was more planning on the cage.
A lot of the time, the three, maybe they just wanted to subvert the tradition, which, because a lot of the time those three stages of hell matches were kind of the opposite, where you'd be like, you take your time in the first one a little bit, maybe then have a longer, like, brutal fight in the middle one, and then that last one is just kind of more Shakespeare and Zabada and, you know, like, little bells and whistles, but shorter. It's like just the exclamation point. And then you get your finish. They figured they'd get through the first two and then really have the meat in this one.
Yeah.
Just depends on the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, another interesting story. We have new women's tag champions, Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. This is just going to be a great team. great, great for the division. And as we saw, it's getting a lot of people involved. So women's tag wrestling thriving right now. Let's go.
I was going to say that. Yeah. A lot of great spotlight for a lot of teams. I mean, in the, you had Liv and Roxanne coming out there, which I actually really love, because I love the fact that Raquel is out of the picture dealing with Stephanie Vaquer, which is cool. Good for them. I think that's a cool feud, actually.
Yeah.
But then, you had Bayley and Lyra and everything. So, like, three awesome teams right there. And then, of course, there's more on SmackDown and stuff, too. So, like, the women's tag division is in pretty healthy spot right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Women's tag wrestling in general is looking great.
Between all the major companies.
Yeah. We're like, really? Hell yeah. So that's amazing. We'll, of course, be keeping eyes on that. Liv and Roxanne did get the number one contender spot. So they will be facing off for the tag titles. We saw Javon Evans facing off against Bravo Americano. And honestly, listen. I know I was a hater, okay? And granted, I know the gimmick started mostly because certain people might be kind of sort of racist. But I will say, this is funny.
Give racism a chance.
No. But that was such
That's
a,
the lesson.
That was such a, an instinctual response from me. I was like, no. No.
Selective but, racism.
But, you know but I mean? Yeah, sure. And I will say, this is a good use of it because genuinely this gimmick is great. And I do appreciate I tuned in briefly just to like on the highlights on YouTube. And there was a moment where I guess something happened. Oh, it was the end of the match where Grande was telling the other two guys to go, but he was saying it all in Spanish. Everything Hell was yeah. in Spanish, and it was bad, but it was like so good. And my wife was
committing
like,
to the bit.
My wife was like, "Oh yeah, he's actually speaking Spanish," and I was like, "No shot, this is amazing." And you know, like they're committing to the bit, and I appreciate that. And I think at the end of the day, when you're handed lemons and you turn it into lemonade like this, and this
chicken
very much
shit to chicken salad,
yeah, and this very yeah, much man. Like. I feel like what started as a racist like character genuinely has morphed into something lovable and fun, which I did not expect. I genuinely did not see that coming. It's because of Ludwig. It's because of Ludwig Kaiser. Like he just like embraced it. Super cool.
Yeah.
And I respect it. And then Javon Evans looked like a superstar in that match as well. So many great moments. That freaking Spanish fly into his cutter is insanity. The height that man gets on his cutter.
Oh yeah.
It's
ridiculous.
It's crazy. But yeah, so of course, we're looking forward to seeing what Javon Evans can do on Monday Night Raw. And kudos to the Americanos for being more than just a joke. Actually being really good folly. For the audience. And to confirm, it's Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne as a Bravo and what's the other name? Charlie?
I couldn't even tell you.
I don't know what's the other Americano.
I don't know. I remember seeing it, but I can't remember.
Venti?
That's not it, but
Chiquitito.
Tall?
Chiquitito Americano. Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
Americana.
that's actually well, we'd be the tall Venti. Yeah, I think they should have done that.
Tall Grande Venti Trente.
Yeah, Trente. Mm-hmm. Trente Americano. Trente, yep. That would have been great.
30 ounces, baby.
That'll be Omos.
That's Omos.
Bro, if they put
if
Omos,
they did Omos with them, that would be the greatest character.
I'm in.
Well,
I'm in if they do that.
He's working with Vikingo in AAA, right?
Bro.
Yeah. It's the most random pairing. Like Vikingo turned heel and like joined with Omos in AAA.
Okay.
Yeah. Sick. It's a really interesting
pairing. I think Omos should join the Americanos. That would be. And then they should act like he looks just like them. So they should really like play it off. Like the whole time, like, no, he's, can't you see?
He's this, He's my brother.
You'd be swapping him out, you know, like,
yeah.
I think it'd be amazing. Oh man. Mostly just because he's fucking massive. Like, right. I just think this silhouette would be hilarious. Him next to freaking Tyler Bate would just be too good.
Just him next to three of the palest men you could possibly.
That's what I'm saying. The money is there. Okay, moving forward. Finn Balor, he walked out and made a match. Matt, how do you feel?
Hey, send it back. Send it back. No, I loved it. No, I don't like wrestlers making matches, but I'm going to pretend Adam Pearce was standing by ready to make that one as it was. Mm-hmm. I love Finn. This week felt like a better reset for 2026. I think just in general in WWE than the last week we talked about, like some of the people getting worked into some of that. We talked about the women's tag division, Drew winning the title, Finn getting pushed right into like this main event spot. And like, it was referenced in the promo too. Like, where you been, kid?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, talking about spending all the time with Dom and JD and everybody. And like, I thought you were supposed to be this top guy, this demon, this prince and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
he was like, yeah, let's do it, prince, like that. When he said that, I was like, that was for me.
Let's cycle it back in.
Yeah. You know, good match. It's going to be a great match. Finn Balor is still, you know, just like one of the greatest. So no doubt.
I hope it means more than just a match next week, though.
Yeah.
Because they're in, I know, I take issue with this. I send this back as well. Finn didn't directly reference. He said he said Ireland, which I guess by definition is kind of sort of half true. But then Punk made the further reference of, I'm going to beat you in front of your own country, which is not true because Northern Ireland is a different country. That is Protestant territory, and it is not Ireland. It is not the Republic of Ireland. It's Northern Ireland. Get it right. Bray County, Wicklow, where Finn is from, is real Ireland, and I'm going to get a lot of hate from the Northern Irish.
I would contend that a Finn Balor win would unite Ireland.
And it would stick it to the Northern Irish. It would unite. Sure. And that's all that matters. Stick it to the British little...
I have a buddy from Halo, Scherzi, who is really, really passionate. And another friend of mine, Mitch from Valorant, both very passionate about Irish history. From the perspective you're talking about, like them being Irish and the Northern Irish, their conflicts, whatever.
Irish.
Yeah. It's real. So all this I've heard before. So I just think it's hilarious. I'm hearing it without the Irish accent.
It's funny. You can have a little bit of fun, but like there was like 100 years where it was very much not fun.
Oh, yeah.
So bloody and awful.
Yeah, no. And it's like, the only thing we can do is kind of be like, it was terrible. Oh my God.
Yeah. Now just try to turn it more like, it's like New York and New Jersey. Hey, let's have a little fun at each other. Let's just forget about the bloody wars we fought with each other.
Oh man, exactly. Now, we'll see what happens there. I am excited for Finn. He's so good.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe we get something there. But this is
or
where
he loses and Dom beats him.
Oh.
I don't know.
Dom beats
Punk.
That's crazy.
Does what Finn couldn't.
Does what Finn couldn't, exactly.
And now I don't know how I feel about that. So that brings us to the final thing that we're going to talk about. And I got to say, kind of dug it. It's pretty cool. Bron Breakker went off the rails. He finally snapped.
Wait, this is the final thing we're going to talk about?
Well, do we have more? Do we have more?
We're not going to talk about the main event of Raw?
Which was the...
AJ versus Gunther?
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess so. I'm not invested in that. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I apologize.
Oh my God. I loved the finish.
No, the match was great. I just was not invested in any of the story because I know it's just we clearly are just in a holding pattern with Gunther. That's what it feels like to me. And he's just fighting. He's going to probably fight Randy. He'll fight like AJ. He fights AJ. He fights Randy. He fights maybe another legend. Like that's, he's a career killer now. It's just done this one before. So I'm less enthused.
I'm holding out. I think this is the beginning of something bigger than that.
Let's talk about it. What do you want to talk about?
Maybe just briefly, because I do think, because if you're going to do that with Gunther, one that we do know that AJ's been very vocal about this being his last year, most likely. I guess something could change. He wasn't as definitive as Cena was, but he pretty much said, you know, like, I'm coming up on my last year of wrestling. So, I mean, if these two are feuding now, AJ's not retiring at the Rumble. You know what I mean? Like, if anything, it'll be at the end of this year, maybe early next year. So if we do something with Gunther, I would hope that maybe this is a seed planting. Like, I'm not, maybe we don't get anything definitive here in this little rivalry. It sets something up and maybe dips in every so often throughout the year until this builds to a huge match, either at the end of the year or next year. I'm hoping that's what this is, even if they go away from this. Because your point, this was just, hey, pal, you're being mean about John Cena.
And Gunther going, don't co-opt my accent, you son of a bitch.
I am very mean at John Cena. And AJ didn't like that. Hey, frick, man. I'm going to wrestle you. And then he did. And that's it for right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot here. But I think it could be the beginning. I'm hoping of, like, these drops until it does lead to maybe a big retirement.
And I want to be clear. Later. I went out of my way to watch this match. This was the match that I watched in Monday Night Raw. I just fast-forwarded everything because I didn't have a lot of time. And I was like, I just want to see one great wrestling match. And I know AJ Styles and Gunther will do that. And they did. It was great. I love the finish. I love the way that they're keeping this thing going. So to your point, there is definitely like going to be a little bit more at the very least.
And so I pose this question because I saw some other people react. I'm going to call out Santi Zop in particular, if he ever wants to watch our show. He had a reaction, and other people did too, to like, oh, why Gunther just beat Cena? Why is he tapping out, even though it wasn't the actual finish? That seems so weak and everything. I pose to you that it was on purpose.
Yeah.
It was an intentional fake out. It's why he purposely reached to the other side to screw with AJ to make him think and let go. Right? Mm-hmm. We're all heads all the same place. Yeah. Okay. Because there were a couple of people who were like, why is he tapping out just weeks after beating Cena?
Also,
like thinking it was a real heel tap out that just missed.
I think it's funny because they had a camera like clearly on that spot.
Well,
and I just thought it was funny that they didn't show it. So I was like,
until the replay?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, this was very much like, I like this. I agree with you. I think he did it to screw with AJ. Just be like, hey, I know I like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to beat you anyway.
Like, it was a plan. It wasn't like he was actually in too much pain, like about to actually give up. Here's my ruse. I'm going to tap out on his other side and make the wrestler think it's over.
Yeah. Now, what happens, though, if that's not the case, and he did just tap out because your boy's got soft legs.
And then he just realized in the moment and took advantage and low blowed him. I know. I just think that's less interesting.
Exactly. I'm hoping they go your route.
The answer there would be you build that story that, oh, shoot, the calf killer beats Gunther. Like, he's afraid of the calf killer. It didn't work. He cheated his way around.
Crusher. But just because we're going to have people saying it in the... We're going to have...
I'm sorry. Calf Crusher. Whatever. That's true.
He used to be the calf killer, right?
Demonetized.
He used to be the calf killer. And then he changed it to the calf crusher.
Or maybe somebody else who used it called it the calf killer. But
okay.
I remember when I first saw it, that's what it was called. But
maybe he didn't like how it sounded like animal cruelty.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's a big beta guy.
Crusher doesn't sound AJ much better, Styles. Though. I'll be honest with you. Like, grabbing a bunch of calves and crushing them?
Like, well, it's your calf.
No, I mean, saying like the cattle. Muscle. Like, cattle, like, you know, the... Oh, well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Cattle mutilation? Like,
how else you going to get veal?
Yeah. That's dark.
But, yeah. I love the match. Yeah. I love the finish. Hopefully, it means more down the road.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Good point. Good point. And I'm glad you mentioned it. We'll keep eyes on that. And then we have Bron Breakker, who goes crazy, decides he wants to commit assault. But there was an interesting little tidbit right at the end when Paul Heyman and Adam Pearce were talking. And Paul and Pierce goes to Heyman and says, "You were going to get your guy under control, blah, blah, blah." And then Heyman says, "Well, sir, from where I'm standing, you laid your hands on Bron Breakker first." And then that's where Adam Pearce was like, "Shit, I did." And everything kind of fell apart. Well, not fell apart.
Legal precedent.
Yeah. It definitely sets an interesting tone.
We need
tone.
This judge gimmick more than ever.
Right? So where does this go? Where do we see this?
But they have to have a powdered wig. They have to have a powdered wig if they're doing the judge gimmick. I'm sorry. Yeah. Where does this go?
And a theme song too. Oh. Like what was the Arrested Development? With Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
You gotta have that. Exactly. All right. So yeah, where do we see that? This was very interesting. And I loved Pierce in this, by the way. Holy crap, he was great. Yeah.
Pierce was great.
He was great. And Logan Paul was
actually made me laugh.
He did. Wait, because what did he say?
At the end, when he was like, "He's going to kill you." He said it twice. He was like, "He's going to kill you. He is going to kill you. Stop."
I was like, okay.
And I was like, "That's funny." Yeah.
That was funny. That was funny. And then the whole like, he went in, yelled at Bron. They grabbed Penta Tsunami. Then he was pissed at Reed, yelling at him. Breakker, Spears, Dragon Lee. Like, just, I really loved all of it. Narratively, it was beautiful. That was so sick. Where does this go? What do we see coming out of this?
I mean, presumably a lot of people are going to go to the idea of like, oh shoot, Adam Pearce is going to have to step back in the ring and wrestle Bron Breakker. I don't think it would be much of a, and I think not because he can't, or like, I don't believe in it, but it's just like, I think Pierce has also been pretty open about like those days are behind him, but I think he could do it for like a more of a story segment than an actual like match.
Maybe like a tag match.
If necessary. No, I mean, maybe, but I think it wouldn't really make sense. I think you would have to do some kind of one-on-one thing, but it would be less of a like, full ride of a match and more of like a story, like really just like,
yeah.
I think it'd be interesting for them to hold the fact that he attacked first over his head longer, and that makes him a little like reticent to maybe take some action against the vision, yeah, the vision a little bit, until it finally comes to a head, into a boiling point where he's like, I can't do this anymore. If you're going to sue me or press charges or get me suspended or whatever, but you've got this match tonight, and you know, like this one person could be the, like, you could do it like somebody's representing Pierce in a way and do something like that. But I don't know. I think it would be interesting to see an authority figure lose a little bit of authority and not be able to hold that over the heels' heads as much, where they could flip that script a little bit. Yeah. I think that would be really interesting, but I don't know.
He did say that under no circumstances was Bronson Reed supposed, or Bron Breakker supposed to get involved. Right.
Right.
And he did anyway. Mm-hmm. So like ultimately Bron Breakker did defy the rule that was put in place. It's just that during the confrontation, Pierce was the one who put his hands on Breakker first. But it would be silly if they ignored the precedent that Pierce had set, being like, because then at that point it's like, then what's the point of the manager? You know, if the manager's saying you can't be out there, and then he goes out there anyway, and then they just move forward next week because Pierce laid his hands on Breakker first. I feel like that ignores that other part.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah, you're no, right. And you're not you're wrong. Right. And my issue with it, and I've been wrestling has done this forever, and I've always hated it. Whenever they use the idea, like, you know, when they used to put the stipulation of like, you two can't touch each other before pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Unless he hits you first, then you can go to town, Steve Austin, or whatever, right. You know, so stuff like that. And it's always the dumbest thing where it's like, oh, he gets pushed and his shoulder hits Stone Cold. So Stone Cold goes, well, I could kick your ass now. Bam, bam. And it's fun for the audience. But mm-hmm. I'm like, it's so silly. And like in this instance, the initial putting hands on was literally the old turnaround.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't punch him. He didn't kick him. He didn't even push him. And like for this to have some real weight to it, I wish it would have been more of a physicality as opposed to
like he pushed him
in or like shoved him and like pushed
him into the ring post. Like something that hurt him, you know?
And it didn't even have to, it doesn't have to bump him, doesn't have to like really hurt him, but like strike of some kind, even if it's just a big shove to his chest, right? And just pushing him away. Cause that you could constitute
show intent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
tapping on the shoulder, spinning around. To me, I don't think any logical person would consider that like putting your hand. I mean, it is, but like in the world of wrestling, well,
at the same token, Bron Breakker's not a logical person.
No.
No, but like, I just think you would, to your point, Jake, the idea of like having something over Pierce is like, I turned you around, dude.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You don't really, but if he actually like shoved him into the corner or something like that, you'd actually have like, you tried to take him off his feet like that.
The more I think about it, I really would love to see a storyline of like Pierce or even Nick Aldis where a heel has something over him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be interesting, you know, just kind of like a, I'm trying to think of what's a good example. Did you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was the
gang guy who had it over the captain.
Who had it over Captain Holt.
Yeah.
Captain Holt's still a great and good person, but he did this because it was something that he had to do for the better good of
the Nine-Nine, you know,
the precinct, the Nine-Nine, even Brooklyn itself. Right. So I would think it would be fascinating to see something like that with an authority figure, like a GM or something like that, where something happens where he's like,
that'd be cool.
I regret having to do this, but I need to do it for the better good of the show or for WWE or, you know, and that can cause, you know, problems of its own. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. And we'll see where this goes. Cause maybe Braun and Heyman can like leverage that into another title match or something to another, you know, like maybe that's how he makes it better, if you will. That could be the possibility. What if like, I'd like to see a world where Nick Aldis gets involved and is like, hey, you know what? You guys are you want to do some stuff, want to get some, you know, have a platform, come on over to SmackDown, you know, like maybe there's a little bit of that could
like,
happen there.
there's a trade. I'll handle the vision.
Yeah,
if you can handle
the MFTs, you know, the
MFTs,
like,
or because, Chelsea Green again,
or Chelsea Green, which honestly, if that's how they get Chelsea Green back on Monday Night Raw, would be amazing. I would be all about that. That would be absolutely amazing.
The vision for Chelsea Green, and he's just like, I don't know, and like it's
then he's going to be like, no, I want the vision back. He's going to say he wants the vision back.
No, I want to keep the vision.
This was cool. This was different. It felt like there was a real levity to this, real like importance to this moment. I'm very excited to see how they build off of it. And again, just want to give Paul Heyman a shout out, man, because this dude just he's flubber. He can mold himself into anything he wants. Okay. In more ways than one, he could do so many things. It's insane.
Yeah.
He really, the fact that he's grabbed these four guys who on their own probably wouldn't really find a lot right now. And outside of like Logan Paul and Bron Breakker was cool, but like, you know, shelf life on that was only going to go so long with the same thing. They added so much to these guys. So much. I like it. I'm really And again, I'm not, the Vision still has a lot to do, but like Braun Breaker, well played, man. They've been giving him a good platform. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Is a title match, right? With Punk. How was that last one? I didn't see the last title match that they had. Punk and Breaker.
Breaker and Punk?
Yeah, they fought, good. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
But it was like a clean finish, Raw. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I am curious if they run that back again, if it's necessary.
Yeah, I would be too. Nice.
Yeah. That's basically going to do it for us here. But as you know, as we get down to the end of the episode, it's all about everyone's favorite segment, the greatest segment of all time, the Reebok 24/7 Champion of the Week. I felt good. I felt good to say. There it is. All right. Of course, this is a segment where the person, place, or thing that brought us the most joy, you know, all that good stuff. I'll start first just because mine is easy. I went to AEW this weekend on a whim at a gig in town in Texas, and I just so happened to be there when they were doing AEW at Esports Stadium. It was weird because that's the venue where I won my award at. It was quite bizarre. I've hosted that venue 5 times. So it was very weird. Got to see Tony Schiavone though. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. He remembered me, which was lovely. Yeah, I was just like, hey, I'm here for work. But I got introduced and he was like, oh, glad to see you're doing well. And it was just, and he's such a nice guy. But yeah, it was a great show. Had a blast. I want to give a special shout out to this man right here. He's actually my Reebok 24/7 champion, Dalton Castle. I just love watching this man. Just, he is so radiant. He comes out and everyone was clapping. Everyone was doing the clap, the Queen song. Yeah. Everyone was in it. It was like, just the man was, he's just so fun to watch. And yeah, I just wanted to give him a shout out because him and the Outrunners, I immediately ran out and bought an Outrunners t-shirt. It was great. I had a blast. Me and my buddy Wave Punk, we watched all of Collision, all of Ring of Honor, and it was well worth it. It was $50, 50 freaking dollars total.
It's great
for 5 hours of wrestling. Well worth the money. Well worth it. So that's mine. Fellas, what do you have?
I'm trying to think. I'm going between two, but you know what? I'm gonna throw it up to one. So this is kind of like a weird one, but I'm just gonna put it out there. I'm going to manifest. I'm going to use what's the vision, or like when you have vision boards, vision board. And stuff like that. Yeah, right, intention and all that stuff. So I found out, I don't know if this was a thing for the last couple of years or if it was new this year, but the Golden Globes just happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I found out, because I didn't watch, but I was like, I'm just curious what kind of popped off at the Golden Globes. And there is a entire Golden Globe category for podcasts. I don't know if it's brand new this year or if it was like
this was the first year.
Who won?
There you go.
Amy Poehler won. Oh, thank God. Good Hang.
Oh, thank God. An actual decent podcast. Like, good Lord.
Well, and all of them luckily were, I mean, they're all hosted by super famous people, of course.
Yeah. Aside from NPR, that was the only other one that was not. Yeah, Smartless was also nominated.
Joe Rogan was not on there, so you're good.
Well, his show's not very good. I mean, and that's just from like an objective show perspective. He doesn't have like a show. It's just this sweaty man hopped up on steroids talking to other losers about, you know, whatever conspiracy theory
him. Minus the steroids.
Yeah, but you know, you also aren't doing it to the detriment of the entire country, so you know, I mean,
not yet.
You still have time, baby. Still have time.
That Spotify money comes knocking, maybe.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, just putting it there and intentioning and putting in vision boarding us. You know, we're not Bateman, Arnett, and Hayes level. We're not Poehler level yet, but who knows? Maybe 1 year soon, Rebooked will be on nominated for best podcast.
I am proud of the show we produce. Okay,
oh, I am too.
By far, it is the best looking pro wrestling podcast in all of pro wrestling. Period. So I will take that award.
Who is Arnett? Who is Bateman? And who is Hayes on this show?
Oh man. Well, I'm a Bateman stan.
I know this because I listen to Smart List a lot. Jake, you're Will Arnett, without a doubt.
100%.
I'm Bateman, and JB is 100% Sean Hayes.
No.
Yes. You're the nice guy out of us that we always end up ragging on, but yeah. You're very, very lovable. And yes. Like, I think people, yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't
help
but
rip. And the two of us are the biggest assholes.
Yeah. So we just love it. We just love bits and we love ripping on things. And
now just want to do a Reese's commercial. But,
yeah. And I am a fan. I am, what's that skin? I am a fan of, I thought I heard someone.
No, I said it was me. I said, now I just want to do a Reese's commercial.
You sounded just like Scan for a minute there. I was like, holy crap, that's amazing. Yeah. Okay, you know what? There are worse people to be compared to than Sean Hayes. So I'll take it. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. He's a lovely person. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, that's sick, though. We'll get there one day. We'll get there. But maybe. All right, Jake, what about you?
It's very tough trying to decide a 24/7 champion for me this week because, quite honestly, it's been a very rough week.
Yeah.
So I haven't I just haven't had a chance to do a whole lot. So my 24/7 champion of the week is the guy who's going to be premiering on AMC this week, which is our very own Tom Hannifin. Congrats, Tom Hannifin. I'm very excited.
I'm out.
Oh my God. Oh, that was amazing. That was amazing. That was amazing. Shout out to Tom Hannifin.
Congrats to Tom.
Oh, and also the other commentator that's going to be
Bully
on.
Ray.
Bully Ray.
Bully Ray, Bully the Ray. Other commentator.
Oh, man. All right, everyone. Exactly. That is going to do it for us here at Rebooked. We thank you all so much for tuning in. I also want to say a massive shout out to people tuning in last week. Some of our best numbers for our show on YouTube. We're continuing to build, and I'm continuing to learn about podcasts and SEOs and all marketing and all sorts of crap because I really like this show and I want to keep doing it. So if you guys happen to enjoy the show as well, make sure you get out there, share it, like what we do. You can also tell a friend about it. Or if you just want to keep it simple, you don't even have to participate. You could join our Discord where you could see people talking about all sorts of pro wrestling shenanigans. Link is in the description down below. But that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you for putting up with my voice. I know it sounds terrible, but you know, that's just sometimes the way it works. Matt knows as a commentator, Jake knows as a talent too. Sometimes just the way it goes. You gotta, in showbiz, you just gotta push forward. So we thank you everyone for tuning in. Thanks, Matt, for covering the intro. Thanks, Jake, of course, for coming in as well. And we'll see you guys next week, same time, same place, right here for more Rebooked. Peace.